You're listening to a nerdy production.
Warning, this is a nerdy production.
Welcome to the GM Workshop. We want to dive into insight and tricks from game masters and game designers all over the world and digging up that tacit knowledge so we all can be better game masters and evolve the hobby we love so much. Reach out to us on the GM Workshop at Facebook, Twitter, and Discord, and subscribe to the podcast in any podcast app you are using. And now, on to today's episode.
Roll for initiative.
Welcome to the GM Workshop. Today we are talking Væsen from Friliga, and with us today is Nils, and he's lead writer and somewhat game designer on the Væsen game, and he will talk to us about Væsen, of course, and how he creates this wonderful and mystical universe for us to dive into as a GM. But first, as always, Nils, can you tell the listeners where you come from, role-playing wise?
Where I come from? That's a difficult question, but I've played role-playing games all my life for like 35 years. So I started playing Swedish games, as most Swedes did in like the 80s and 90s with my older brother and his friends and my mother. So we played like Swedish fantasy games at the start.
Drakar and Demoner.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Drakar and Demoner was my first game. Yeah. I played a dwarf as my first character ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Always loved dwarfs since then. But yeah. So it took quite a while before we started trying out, like, played a little Dungeons and Dragons and a little Warhammer and that kind of stuff, but mostly Swedish games. Mm-hmm. I would say I started to play when Vampire came, the first edition, that was like a comet, if I want to be dramatic. It was like an explosion when I bought that in a store in Malmö and just took it home and it blew my mind. So that kind of opened a new world for me. Mm. And then it was like the Forge tradition when like the Story Now games came. Yeah. That was also a big issue for me and my friends. We haven't gotten to the phase where we didn't really like playing role-playing games anymore. We did it now and again, but we didn't enjoy it, and we were like, this is no fun anymore. And those games came, like Burning Wheel and Shadow of Yesterday and all those games, and the Fate system, and it was like we had like kind of a workshop at my friend's apartment. We were like trying games out. It didn't work. We had like brainstorming, how should we play it? And we kind of learned a lot during a couple of years when we played around with many different games. As a game designer, that is the games that influenced me the most. Story Now games, definitely.
For sure. You touch on Vampire the Masquerade or the World of Darkness from White Wolf. It was mind-blowing for a lot of us in the early days of role-playing games, because they suddenly want us to play characters that was, first of all, monsters, but also it didn't levitate around killing everything we meet. And it was about role-playing game and about feelings and about touching how our inner monster and conflicts and so on. So that was one of them. And then you said the story-first concept, like Fate, also transformed your interest into role-playing game towards game design. And when you were the first time you were really a GM or a game master, where was this in this process let's take the White Wolf, the first campaign or module you picked up, you said, okay, this is a great game, this my players were happy or crying or whatever. This feels right for you, Nils. When was this, and how was the experience for you?
As a GM, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I as the youngest in our group when I was growing up, I got all the games nobody else wanted to GM. So I had some good experience with those games, but I would say actually it was Vampire that those guys that were like 4 years older than me, and they really loved Vampire, and I was just thrilled being a GM. I drank coffee for the first time, just filling it with sugar to like last during the night when we were playing. So that was really fun.
So the vampire of the masquerade, the storyteller aspects of the GMing was what that launched you further into being a GM later as well. Or
Yeah, I think so.
The fate and the story now systems, Burning Wheel and so on. It's where conflicts meets the systems are very interesting. How did you lean into touching on the game design aspects after this?
I would say I didn't really start to design games until much later. When those games came, we just played them and we didn't really understand them. So it took a while. But I actually started writing for a game that is kind of a traditional game, which was a extremely small game back then, Oktoberland, was it called? It was published by Christian Merstam, who does White Hat today. Yeah. So back then he published this very little, very small game, and I was kind of writing. Yeah, I was a fan of that game, so I kind of convinced him to help me put out PDF versions of, of scenarios I wrote. So that was my way into it, and he had a way of writing role playing games that I think few other people do. It was like based in literature, and it had humor, and it had kind of it was well written text, and I would say that's many of role playing games, they're like okay written, but Christian is I mean he works as a professor or something in Swedish language. He can really really write, so I was kind of blown away. So it wasn't the rule mechanic side that made me start to write role playing games, but that came later, kind of. Sorry, long answer.
It's fine, because you as you said, you were launching into the story now at Fate engines, and the system isn't really there for most cases, and it's not important for the games to evolve. When you sit down, play with your group or on a convention or something like that, how do you lead the game and how do you help the players into the game from the get-go when you sit down with some players? What is important for you in those aspects?
I think kind of not being so... I think it's always scary to play, to be a game master, especially with new people. So I think it's easy to just try to make lots of things happen very quickly and just take control over the game table. And I always need to remind myself to kind of lean back and ask questions and create like space for others to enter. So I think when it goes well, I think I do that a lot, like asking them questions about their characters and you just, okay, tell me more. And people will start to kind of lean in towards the table and engage. What is your best?
Oh, I have a lot of tools in that workcase. It's also the reason why I'm making this podcast, to learn from experienced GMs like yourself and some others. But some of the I often write short agendas or short backgrounds for the players, to like tunnels they have to go through, but on the other side of the tunnel they can create the characters, and then I put up another tunnel so I can guide the players or the characters into the story in the best way, so they are best immersive into the story. That's mostly when I'm trying to with new players or start with new players, so the players can lean into the story more easily. And like the Vesen story I played, I said they have to be from the city of Roskilde, and they have a higher society archetype, so they can I can use it into the story. They couldn't play vagabond or servant, for example, because they would not fit into the story from the get-go. So small tunnels or wide tunnels or something like that. It's most most my examples, more my toolbox. But I like the way you do it. Like you just sit down and talk to the players very openly, and then create the story from there. Or do you try to help the characters with their ideas and then put it into the story? How do you manage this?
I would say it's very different. I mean, as you say, with new players, you need to give them a lot more to kind of stand on or lean against. They can't really just come up with whatever. So it's kind of different. I was game mastering like a Call of Cthulhu campaign before, and was then it's of course much more pre-written, and you kind of have to control it a little more.
Mm. How do you do that? What was it a module or a or?
It was a module.
A published module.
It's a Tetris of the King.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It was a brilliant stuff. But actually, that gaming group is the one I play with the most, and they are kind of rebels. They never do as the GM says. So I kind of figured that out like the first session.
Yeah.
This is not gonna work. Mm. So for that campaign, I was actually just letting them do whatever they wanted, and they're just playing like crazy people. So I was just like letting like the story go on, kind of, and just steering them a little, and then just giving them space to just do their stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're like a group of really like creative role players who they don't care about rules and stuff. So they're kind of in that corner of the freeformers.
Yeah.
So then I just have to kind of make it somehow move in the right direction and just give space.
Yeah.
So it's different from different groups and different campaigns and stuff.
Yeah, but I often run into those rebel-y players like those, and then if you figure it out very fairly soon or very very early in the process as a GM, you can exploit that very much and really punish them or push them into the story from a direction they didn't see coming, because you put some honeypots in the way. Does it either they follow the honeypots or recognize that they are honeypots, or you set up walls and they just want to run through the walls because they are rebel players, and on the other side of that wall the plot or the story actually were so sometimes it's fun to make those traps for rebel-y players like those. It's pretty fun. We touched on this a bit, Nils. The sandbox versus railroad access. It's not a complete access, but it gives up some leveling before GM. And where do you want to lean in on the railroading, and where do you ease off the pedal on the railroading? As GM,
I prefer like the sandbox games. No structure or anything. You're just like, here is a world, do whatever you want. I don't find that so interesting. But I mean, if you have a sandbox with like dramatic relationships, conflicts, things that are about to happen if you don't stop them, and the characters have goals and so forth, such as in Apocalypse World or such a game. Like if you play Cult Divinity Lost without using any pre-written scenario.
just letting loose.
Yeah, I mean, they're
just letting.
Yeah, there are rules for that in the game. Just like creating a relationship map and just.
Yeah, relations map.
I think that is the most.
And just
fun.
Give all the players three disadvantages that they give the GMs a lot of moves, and they just run rampant in the city. It's pretty fun.
I think that's.
It's pretty fun for sure.
But then I kind of like if you call them the railroad scenarios. In a way as well, if you don't, I mean, you can play such a scenario and try to follow the rail, and that is seldom so much fun. But if you use it as like kind of like a background structure and just see where you end up, then it's good fun as well.
For sure. And it's I love the idea with, as you said, as Cult Divinity Lost, but also railroading often gives room for less preparation because you know where the players are going in the next hour or two. Mm. As sandbox, you don't know where the players are going, and then you have to prepare dots and then know your players all know where the players should go or could go, and that creates some difficulty to make the world around the players immersive and complete, and that's also a problem for sure. But Nils, I think that's a pretty good review of you as a GM or a player for most parts. So let's move into this this great topic I've chosen for you today. And as an expert on this, you have to, I'm a bit of fanboy of the Vesen, as we talked on the, just before we let loose on the the talk.
Today's topic is Vesen, the RPG from Freeliga, and Nils wants to share his insight and ideas on this game. Check out our Facebook page, GM Workshop the Podcast, Discord, and Twitter if you want to interact with us or be on the podcast. Reach out to us so you can give us your GM advice and perspectives on your favorite game.
Vesen, the role-playing game, it's from Freeliga, and I've described it as a Victorian dark fantasy real-world horror game, a Nordic horror game, you called it yourself, right? And it's like Victorian noir horror game. The important things in Vesen, what is the most important thing for you when a GM will pick this up? What would you point on to see? Take notice of this. This is what Vesen is and should bring to a table.
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
Thanks. Take your time.
I think there are some different things. I think it plays out best if you are not that kind of controlling GM. I think it works well with a little more player input in describing things and like kind of creating the story together. And it's kind of it's a game with, I would say what I like with it is the most are two things. One of them is that the monsters are not like monsters. They are not like Sauron or something from Lord of the Rings. They are like thinking, feeling people who kind of could be doing something bad or even be the victims, and you kind of don't know who is the real bad guy. That is the thing I like with the game, that it's not that black and white, because I kind of often tend to feel that is a little bit boring when things are just so, those are evil and those are good and blah blah blah. That is not so interesting. And I mean the conflicts in Vesen, you go to like a place and they're somewhere in like the outskirts of a town or in the woods or something, and then there's a conflict, and the conflict is always about relationships and emotions, and that is what makes role playing games fun to me.
For sure, it's role playing game in general. The immersion in this game are very easy to relate to, because it's our own world. It's humans. We are not monsters. Well, some kind of monsters. The human are the worst monsters in this universe. But I love the things you said, and the point to point out the. I tried to play it, as I said, and it's just great. It's easy to suck in the players' immersiveness into the scenes and feel the mud under their feet and the wind, and make it real, because it's a real world. Read a history book and we know what it's like in the 19th century in Scandinavia or in Germany or whatever.
That is also one thing I like with the game, that each scenario is kind of rooted in the place where it plays out. If we have a scenario in Helsingør, you would kind of read the history of the town and kind of try to find conflicts from the 19th century. So it has been really fun to kind of go back a couple of generations and just try to figure out how people lived in different places. I read up some on Denmark on different places when I wanted to place different Vesen, examples of Vesen conflicts there. Then you find all these little interesting facts and conflicts and important people and
urban legends,
what people believed in, urban legends and so forth. So just by just putting your finger on a map somewhere in Denmark or Sweden and just reading about it just gives you so much material. So that is something I
really like it too. And I'm used to Roskilde. I'm from that area as a child, so it was pretty fun for my players. They were also from the same area, and it was just fun to put them into that great city and let them up the fjord of Roskilde fjord. And they met a terrible, terrible mermaid, merfolk, or what do we call it? It was pretty fun to use those, put a twist on the merfolk lore and put a twist on a lot of things. It's pretty cool. It's a great way to use our own world without it being Well of Darkness or Cult or many other Call of Cthulhu or Well of Darkness, as I said. I love the setting for sure. When you sit down to try to figure out this, there's a mood in this age, and why is this the point in history you have chosen for Vesen, and why is this a great time for role playing in our own world?
The role playing game is based on Johan Egerkrantz's images. His books, that are called Vesen. As well. And I think in many of his pictures, they are like clothes from early 19th century. So you could say that when I was asked to write the game and I was like going into the process, that those things were already decided. But I think it's a really good decision. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting era. And I think it's very interesting to place it in the North. And North countries.
For sure.
I think what I wanted to highlight was like the industrialization and how much society was changed. So that's where I kind of put my focus, what happens in the world. And I tried to make that the theme of the game, how kind of like the old ways, the old culture is disappearing for good and worse.
Yes, for sure.
And I think that transpons, could you say?
Yeah.
It's transferable to like conflicts that are very much happening in Sweden today as well. We have like kind of a conflict between the cities and the small villages, and like a romantic picture of old Sweden. And can we just go back? And so I think it's a conflict that is both happening right now and is very much 19th century conflict.
Yeah, it's happening all over Europe for sure. So it's not local in Sweden or in Denmark. It's always it's have been a conflict since the 80s or something like that. But I love the age because of the, as you said, the industrial and the sociological turmoils in that period. It's where our constitution in Denmark were rewritten. I'm sorry, I'm not that into Swedish national history, but it has to be in that part as well, where democracy and the monarchy will dissipate for
become like national states.
Yeah, for sure. And
secret police.
Yeah, and flags and the first signatures of the great ideologies like Marxism and fascism are showing their ugly face around in the world or in Europe for sure, and I love those aspects and putting that into a game and then setting into perspective of the Vesen creatures that are images from beyond, not to spoil the meta plot in Vesen, but as a meta game knowledge, there's a coherency between those two, and the iron cage of the sociologist Max Weber gives a pretty good idea where to give some perspective on this. Vesen is important to see the society from the outside and so on. So it's pretty cool to put in this term. And there's a lot of violence and civic turmoil in this period for sure. We have the Norwegian independent war in 1820 from Denmark. They are releasing them, and the final wars between Denmark and Sweden ends very closely to the 18th century. And so there's a lot of conflict there. And south of Denmark, we have the Germans, the German parts of Denmark in the Schleswig-Holstein areas and so on. So it's a violent time and a very difficult time to navigate in for sure. And the mood for role-playing game are very easy to set because it's not so far away, so we can easily creates the mood and the the knowledge of for the players to set it up. And again, the art in the books are just wow, great.
It's really good.
It's so great. And I'm looking forward to the new book from Britain, so to see what you have figured out there.
That's epic.
When you look at the protagonist or the player character, we have this society, or we have this character that have the sight, that can see the Vesen. But in many fantasy games and many games for role-playing games, it's a hero. But it's not. We are not really heroes in this, are we? And it's not fun in games So how do you define this in this genre or this way to play roleplay?
I would say in some aspect they are kind of heroes, but hopefully not that successful or something. No, that's came out wrong. Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, in a way they are kind of heroes. They travel out in this rural country and save people from problems. But hopefully the players will create characters that are not that shiny armor and glittering heroes, but are more like troubled people.
Yeah, actually. For sure. How many insights they got because of injuries.
it's a
great mechanic. because I think Vesen gives a lot of room for immersive play and the real person in this area and the conflict between the Vesen and the human society and the character. This triangle can create a lot of tension and a lot of very 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 cool scenes in role playing games for sure. And again, we would put it in our own world. You have put in magic and low fantasy elements, but it's not Harry Potter level magic, and it's not World of Darkness level monsters and so on. It's very very clean, and it's the fables, and it's the local rural legends or the urban legends for most parts in our Scandinavian worlds, and that's a pretty cool element to this. How do you help the players understand which level of fantasy we are talking about? If you want to sell this to a new group of players, how do you find this the right touch to help a GM sell this to a table?
I would probably say that it's like your ordinary people who are like gifted or cursed with this sight ability, and you kind of have to do this because something drives you to kind of take this responsibility. And I would say that, I mean, part of the game is also that the society is like, it's an old society that has dealt with Vesen for a long time, but it has been like ruined and broken, and you're just starting it up again. You're kind of like walking into this old castle that was the society's headquarters, but it has been abandoned for a lot of time. So it's just kind of... opening up a new world to these player characters that don't know much about it at all. So it's just like experiencing it. Yeah, something like that, I would say. And I would probably show them the pictures and ask them to kind of...
Yeah, and then they are sold. For sure. Yeah, the archetype. When I'm introducing this to a new player group, I have to play with a... I just converted some new players from D&D to Vesen, and it was pretty cool because I talked to them, what do you really want to play? They want to play D&D, and they want to play Curse of Strahd, and they want to investigate and all the horror and mystery. Look, I got this game, they're called Vesen, let's try this instead, because it's much more what you really want. You don't want to kill zombies, you don't want to kill vampires in some castle. You want the mystery, you want the intrigues, you want the cool NPCs to lead on, and some cool handouts and they can dive into and so on. It wasn't the fighting and the XP they wanted. They actually want a great story. So I introduced them to Vesen, and I sent it some YouTube videos for the character creation. So then and then they were sold in a second, just on the character creation part of the game. That was pretty cool.
I think it does something that you really can bite the Vasen in this game. I think it would be that is probably something I would say as well. As you say, you want the mystery, you want the so often in games like D&D, at least when I play, you just end up killing the beast and getting your new sword. It doesn't get that magical, but I feel when we play Vesson, something happens when you actually can't fight the monster. It's a little bit more.
My players in my Axel Play podcast, they screwed up royally and just tried to face on the mermaid, and she called on her sea serpent friends, but they didn't even manage to materialize before she has killed both the players. So because they didn't sacrifice the right thing, they didn't figure out why what to sacrifice to her to make her vulnerable. She was vulnerable, but she wasn't. She wouldn't get banished. So it was pretty fun. and the players were.
How did they take it?
Yeah, they love it. They just love it.
They do.
It's love. They love it, and it's just great to have players that managed to see themselves outside the roles and the character and the character. It's great to have players that knows that this is a great story. Even when I lost my character or lost the final showdown with this evil merfolk thingy. I'm looking forward to create more small modules for this game for sure. It's pretty fun. When you when we talk horror and darkness, and we it's very important to bring horror and darkness into Vesen. There's a lot of tropes, and how do you try to guide your fellow GMs and yourself into using these tropes and to dodge tropes to avoid them if they could ruin the horror? How do you manage this?
Could you give me an example?
How do you use the Vesen, the different Vesen's aspects and the mystery around it, so they don't become tropes and becomes horror instead. How do you manage this? Also in the show don't tell part of
it.
How do you manage this?
Like to say two different things, because I spend a lot of time creating like how you build mysteries in this game, how you build the scenario. And I, of course, took a lot from when I wrote Tales from the Loop, so it's kind of similar, but one difference is that all mysteries are based in conflicts between different. I mean, a kraken that just attack a ship, that is not interesting. But if you're forced to kind of figure out what the basic conflict is, you as a GM will already there have some kind of angle that is specific and or perhaps new or relevant to people. In the gaming world, and then it will not become like old and used. It will become something specific and important in the gaming world. So I think that is an important part of making each mystery non-old stuff. Like most first thing you would think of, but instead it becomes something specific. Writing horror is something I think is really dangerous. That's the wrong word. Sorry. Really hard.
It's also very dangerous. it's very hard. Yeah.
I write a lot of RPGs, either games or like scenarios, but I still have a hard time figuring out how to write horror games. I mean, it's the old problem. Should you make the players scared? I mean, we don't make them feel any other emotions. We don't want to make the players angry or sad. We want to make the characters angry or sad or so. But when you write horror games, you actually want at best to make the players afraid. But that is hard.
That's very hard, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Often the build-up in the mystery could be pretty cool, as we touch on later in this talk, because the build-up in a mystery are some of the strong points in Vesen for sure, and how the learning curve of the players into the Vesen's real banishment ritual or the real immortality or something like that. It's great to have a build-up in that part and give the players small corns to follow into the field. It's a way to do it for sure, but in tropes aspects it can often be like obvious, so it's using those tropes and put them and twist them a bit. Instead of porridge, they actually want meat or a sacrifice or a gold coin or something like that. And to use the tropes against the player's meta knowledge of a Vesen. That's also a very nice twist to use it in a horror game for sure. To freak them out or to make them unsure, because it's the uncertainty that's makes horror games great for me, and create these elements and make them scared, because the characters are not immortal in this game for sure. They are dying fast if they are heading into combat for sure, and I love that part too. So violence is not often a solution to solve the Vesen problem.
And you're also stranded. Like you go on a journey to a place where the scenario takes place. You're never at home. You're never surrounded by your friends or your resources. Yeah. You're always like placed out in the middle of the village, and then you discover that all this village are like
charmed under a merfolk, for instance. Ta-da!
Yeah,
it was part of the plot in my. That's
a good thing. Yeah. And a part of the mystery is you never meet the monster at the start of the scenario. That is basic writing horror
for sure.
Stories. But I think it's
important. I love the show don't tell part for sure. Just give them hints to just make them unsure. And the fish out of water aspect, as you said, is just a great point, because the fish out of water part of a horror game is just great. And the ability to reach back and get back up from the other persons into society or from a patron or something like that, it's not a possibility to isolate and to put pressure and put a time frame on players are also very very important to do in horror. So they have to act now instead of and we're just going back to Uppsala and go to the library and read the 80 books, and then we go back to this village and defeat this troll or something like that. It's not fun. We want actions in the moment. It's pretty cool.
No, you won't get any XP.
The Vesen setting. It's our world. It's set in the 18th century, as well as the 19th century, undefinable from 00 to 99. Some in that range in Scandinavia for most part, but Britain are coming soon, and we can put into some parts of Germany too, and Poland and so on. I've seen a lot of different Vesen creatures around the world in some Facebook groups, so you can search out a lot of local monsters in those parts. But the choice of the setting, we have touched on it a bit, because it's the turmoil and all the. I also have noticed that you took out some of the social reality from the setting. I've noticed that the part where you wrote about women's role in the 19th century, and I really like that part. So that's a notable choice. Did I miss any other social realities that are turning down a bit in the choices in the setting?
I don't think so. No,
you're not talking much about politics and ideologies and so on, because it's Uppsala. It's not the greatest city in the world, but it's important for the for the setting. Ancient history surrounding that city in Sweden.
I think perhaps what do you say in English? I mean, how they were treated in the northern parts of Sweden and Norway. And I mean, racism isn't, I think that could have been a bigger part of the gaming world. Yeah, it could have been, but it isn't that in the rule book as it is now.
And it's fine, because you can put it in as a game master, and it's difficult for you as a lead writer on this, and put it in to define it well enough to use it, and if you don't develop it well enough, you can get a lot of heat from those societies, and it can just be a shit show for sure. And it's very, as a appropriation in role playing, are very difficult to assemble and put into a game. It's a very fine line, and I like the choices you did for sure. And it's a fine point to take racism out of the context.
Maybe it's not entirely taken out, but it's not explicit
for sure, it's not something you point on and see you have to use this or else this will not work, this mystery will not work. And because the Vesen is taking the role of the unknown people, so the racism is put in those aspects instead. When you are building a mystery, Nils, what is the important parts there? It's here where you really shine, and I hope you can give some great ideas and pointers, not to create a whole mystery, but what is the points where you really want to emphasize?
To me, when I write a mystery, the most important thing is that I find something in real history that I really like. Like for the Night Soul that I wrote, it's placed close to where I grew up. It's about like a bathing house close to the beach, and I've been there a lot of times. So just reading up about how this place was known as a place of sin because people were bathing men and women together on the beaches, that was really interesting, and the conflict and the little village and so forth. And so it's, to me personally, I think it's important to kind of find something that gets me going, to just get the energy to want to write it. And that is most often that I find some interesting detail. But mechanically, I would give a boring answer and say that when I wrote this game, I was kind of annoyed that so many games don't really help you write scenarios. They just give you kind of rules for shooting people, and then they sell you scenarios. And I think, and I was like thinking, is it because they don't know how they do it themselves, or is it that they don't want to tell us, or what is it? So I wanted to write down a guide that would be what I want to do when I write scenarios. So it just contains exactly the steps I take that I think are good. So for me, I would just follow the steps in the rule book, create two conflicts, decide where it takes place, create some an entry to it, and create some places. And to me, that would just create the scenario I would like to master.
The history aspect is pretty nice, creating a mini campaign or short or longer module, or what you call it, surrounding the Schleswig-Holstein conflict in Germany and in northern Germany, around Flensburg, the city of Flensburg, and in 1848, that's difficult to say, where the first war between Denmark and Germany, the Schleswig-Holstein War, are building up in that area, of course, and the Vesen will be involved in this, and that's, I'm trying to figure out the details and all the history and reading a lot of books and where to fit in a corrupt bishop that actually are charmed by a Vesen creature or a Vesen creature that's actually helping the Danish or the Danes and so on. Try to figure out why the conflict are in Vesen and not in Call of Cthulhu or something else, but it's a process. But I want to make a Vesen campaign for it for sure. And again, the Vesen short stories you have created is so invocative. It's so great. I love them. It's just small text boxes for those that haven't read the book and want to GM this. Just pick up the book, turn on the pages on the Vesen and read those small evocative small boxes of ideas for the scenarios. They are so great. They created so much mystery on their own and link them into a history period or a local myth or something like that, and you are, ta-da, you're done in a few hours. It's such a great way to create a mystery for sure. When you're building the mystery, the grounds up, do you use handouts or do you just put the society pressure on the players, or do we want to figure out how to get out to this village on the beach, or what is the important parts in when the game are rolling to put them into the mystery? What can you give us a helpers in that regard?
Do you mean like to get the mystery started, or
give them the first clues or the first indications of there is a vason or something like that? How what cheap tricks can you give us?
I don't know if I have any cheap tricks. I think
very expensive tricks. We can
buy the book. Someone writing them asking for help is a good thing, but I mean you can vary that in different ways. Someone disappears and you find their diary and they write about something. I need to go visit my old mother somewhere, or you could have like a seance where a ghost tells them something, or. I think you can vary that theme in so many ways. When I play, I like to make it much more personal than the mystery is outlined in the rule book. We tend to play campaigns where it's a little more focused on the player characters than on the vesen and the mysteries. So I would say, to me, it was. When the rule book was created, it was of course a discussion, what should it be, and it was like, when I play it, it's a little less Monster of the Week and a little more character focused, I would say. So I would often kind of relate the Vesen to the player characters and integrate non-player characters and have like a little more focus on what happens between the mysteries and linking them. And
so. I like the idea to give the slow burn build up so the characters can interact with each other, with the world around them, and try to figure out why they are doing X or Y set, whatever, in each scene. That's a great idea, because if the players have something to lose, they are more often to take harder choices, take longer time for harder choices, not just kill off the Nisse or kill off the whatever. It's hard choices each time, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and often thought that when I'm a game master, I often want to kind of get the things going. But when I'm a player, I often feel like it doesn't have to get rushed. I mean, I love playing just scenes with my character at the beginning of a scenario. So I really agree with you that slow burn is really fun as a player. And you just can rely on it will become dramatic eventually, but you don't have to rush it. So I try to learn from that when I'm a game master and not just, as you say, just let it burn slowly.
And a build up in a campaign could also, as each session can have the dramaturgic waves from movies and from some TV shows. You can create them not very dramatic or very tall hills in those hills, but you can easily create small dramas and small hints of the Vesen, or the small hints of the corrupt bishop or something like that to hint that there's something amiss in the setting or in the city they're staying in. You can put a lot of pressure on the players without pressing the players and still have a slow burn. It's pretty important. I would love to try to go on to build up a longer Vesen campaign. I've not figured out the details yet, but it could be pretty cool for sure. Because the setting we touch on a few times now, it's in this area of the time, and there's a lot of sociological terms like racism and the women's the choice about women and the history and the fables and the horror. You put this all together and you give this a spin that creates some great ideas to create a very cool story, but also the most important things with Vesen is that the players know what they are doing, because they are often part of the society or about to go into the society. They know there is a mystery. They get this assignment. They often start in the village or whatever, or on the way out to the village that are the mystery in, or the farm or whatever, because then the players know when we start the session, go. This is what we're doing. It's not anything else. It's this doesn't use the time to figure out what they are doing in most cases. And I love that, because it's what Vesen all really shines for me. The sight is some of the fantasy element in this world. Look towards when I read the Vesen book, I've thought about the Grimm TV shows, if you know that. It's like some of the same elements, not a very good TV show, but they have some cool ideas, and that should have stopped at the first season, but it was fine, and still and the Supernatural, again, the Supernatural TV show as well has also some great shows and great episodes. And then again, the monster hunt aspects in both Supernatural and in the Witcher books and the game and the TV show, that's just terrible. It's some of the inspiration that can link into Vesen, but again, put it in much more slow burn and put it in the 19th century and put it in more real or more less heroic. Can you try to help us find some links or some inspiration in other parts of pop culture or something like that?
I would like to say the Sandman stories.
Yes.
In some way. Sure. I think they have some themes you can definitely use and a kind of emotion in some of those comics are really well fitting with the game. And I love Sandman, so it would be cool if someone uses those ideas to kind of write Vesen mysteries. Sherlock Holmes,
because they also often have some small parts of some fantasy elements or alchemy or something unrealistic. In it's not realism. It's not 100% realism in Sherlock Holmes. So that's a great point. Yeah, for sure. And also the same age. It's also helpful to find some ideas there for sure. But that's a good point. I haven't picked that up for.
I think those two, Sherlock Holmes and Watson, could really be.
And cool. And what kind of Vesen is Jack the Ripper? It's a mare or something like that, maybe, or a ghost.
Yeah,
possessing people and killing off four women around London. That has to be a upcoming module for the Britain.
Yes.
There can be some difficulty to approach this world or this setting, and conquering and crushing the old can get set some weird thoughts in some people's like crushing the native in the US and the native in Australia and so on, like crushing the original people or original thoughts and original traditions in Sweden and Scandinavia. Is that an element you have thought through or
I would say I've thought about it, but I don't think it gets that problematic, because the game doesn't say that you should.
No.
It more says that this is actually kind of problematic, that we kind of leave the old ways and just throw out the old knowledge. Yeah. And I mean, of course, industrialization is good. I like my hot shower
and mobile phone
on the table. Yeah, mobile phone. But I mean,
it has its price.
Yeah, it's easy to say that we also lose so much by, you know, everything. We're kind of far away from each other as human beings, and I think of course every change means that something is gained and something is lost. So
yeah.
Hopefully the game
kind
of uses this theme in a good way rather than
for sure
stomping on people. I hope so.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I try to use it in my short campaign with the my players never figured out because they were terrible rolling dice. So they just sail out to the Merfolk. But it was that she was trying to stop, especially German ships entering Roskilde, because she could feel that it wasn't good for the Vesen in the area and the humans in Roskilde that the Germans were coming and try to manipulate the Danish people and so on. So that was some of the aspects I was using in that's unfolding. Not to hate on German people, but it's we have a conflict with Germans in Denmark. I'm sorry, but it's a great point that the game are not setting it right and setting that is the right things to defeat the Vesen and the tradition's possibility. As you said, the wheel of time will turn things away and crush under other things underway through history, that's for sure. And then setting in one of my favorite things in this setting, and it's religion. One of my players were a priest, and we were using the religion a lot in that story, and you use it a lot both in the society and as the right way to they control the narrative on what the Vesen is and are helping our protagonist to hate the Vesen. And still you have the mysticism, which are like vaguely defined because it's built up around surrounding the Vesen, but also some local traditions and local mumbo jumbo in our society. In Scandinavia, we haven't great traditions in that regards as in other parts of the world, but the mysticism are great to, again, low fantasy elements in our world, but not it's not blinding us for the rest of the world. So that's pretty cool. How do you want to use religion and mysticism in this setting?
That was actually a kind of hard decision to make, because I mean, if you read up on at least Swedish Vesen, they are often kind of interlinked with Christianity. So I mean, if Vesen existed and they believe in God and angels, should we add God and angels to Vesen? And I mean, that would become a completely different game. Still, you want some of the Vesen to kind of be forebearers or speak for the devil and stuff. So yeah, we choose to not include that and not have that. I mean, the Vesen can really believe in God, but the game doesn't say if God exists or not. And you can't meet an angel or some of those. And I have a feeling that if you would really kind of read critically the texts about this in the book, it wouldn't really add up. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because
it's our secret.
We have never encountered a situation in game where this becomes problematic. No. But it was kind of a quick fix, kind of. How do we make this work out? So
because religion is a huge part of the 19th century in Scandinavia, and it was very powerful force. Was trembling a lot. We have witch burnings in Denmark, and just a shit show for sure. And using these elements for the story, and breaks out the Vesen as a bad guy. Role I would use religion a lot to create a narrative and create a build up a enemy image for the players, and then they can deconstruct it when they see it through the lens of not such religious people as we all are in Scandinavia. For now, we are pretty atheist in most part of Scandinavia, and a lot of role players are particularly so to put in the criticism in religion and use them as a antagonist, actually, instead of a flavor or mood element. I could use that a lot in Vesen for sure. And again, the mysticism is it's there, it's fine, we could go on to try to make more of it and make it more complex, but if you put more elements into it, you get more crunchy system, and I really don't want more crunchy systems. If you want to cast spells, play some Dungeons & Dragons instead. It's not important.
It would give the wrong perspective as well. I think it would change the game if you added that.
Yeah. Are you sure you want to do that? Moving on to our last part of this outline, Nils, the next for you and Vesen and for you as at Friliga, Free League. What is next for you? I know the Britain book are coming up. Are you co-writer on this, or are you have any say in that regard?
I haven't written anything for it. I've been editor, but yeah. I'm not the main editor okay. of it. But I'm one of the editors, you could say. So, read the text and
guiding those that are actually writing the
different
book.
Things and so forth. Yeah. So, but it's going to be really, really good, really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be great and open up a whole new market for Vesen, because most other it's a game for us Scandinavians for sure, but we love to make it more accessible for other parts of the world for sure, and Britain is a great step in that direction for sure, and I'm talking to some German guys about some folklore in that part, so that's the next step for me for sure. What's the next for you in Friliga? What are you working on now? If you can spoil a bit, or
I can't really spoil. but I've actually working on several projects for Friliga now. So I'll be writing a lot for them, and I am at the moment. And because I don't have full insight in everything that is planned for VAS, and so. This that I'm about to say is not something that I know, but
you feel.
I hope that.
You hope and feeling.
I hope they will like do more like Mythic Britain. That they will do like East Europe and Russia, and I think they're America, North America, or South America.
Baba Yaga.
I think it could do.
Oh, that could get scary.
So that would be cool if
sure.
they did that.
That's great points, and And again, helping us understand how to play it and make small playbooks and modules or campaign hooks as you has done in just the small one in the Vesen, but also just small accesses to hook into to stories and looking forward to put more of your read more of your work. I'm about to receive the Tales from the Loop book, so I'm diving into that shortly, and when I've played it, and so I might call you up again if you want to talk about Tales.
Definitely.
I love the idea. I love Stranger Things. I love the ideas about, and it's so cute with that the players can't die because they're kids. I love that access in games, and I'm trying to convince my daughter that's 12 that we have to play it when I receive it, and it's just like
I think many kids actually don't like Tales from the Loop.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it's much much more a game for adults.
Yeah, that's nostalgic from the 80s.
I'm not sure.
I have
many kids want to play like Cult. Oh, or
Cult.
Dragon.
Cult. I'm not jumping into Cult with my 12-year-old daughter.
No, I wouldn't do that either. I know a friend of mine who plays Cult. And she's the game master. And it says that it's the worst horror movies ever.
Just dying constantly and getting insane.
He tried to play Tales from the Loop with her, but she didn't want.
Yeah, one. For sure.
Yeah, she didn't find that interesting.
Because it's she also like Stranger Things, and
then there's an angle. Perhaps.
Made my success. Yes, so it's a difficult sell for sure, but I'm looking forward to see more of your work. Yeah, and Nils, it was just great talking to you. I love Vesen. It's a great work. I'm looking forward to my hands on more players who want to jump into some mysteries with me. And thanks for your time, Nils.
Thank you to Nils to give us his insight on Vesen RPG. Next time we will dive into more Vesen RPG with Heikki. He's a Finnish GM and writer.
Follow us on Facebook, GM Workshop, the podcast. If you want to interact with us and talk to us, give us a message.